a lot of self-checkout interest prompted partially by the European efforts of Tesco, which made a large number of systems purchased from NCR. I think they right now are among the leading European retailers in terms of self-checkout. Greg, you've been doing some work, and I think you've got a report coming out next week, on some very interesting self-checkout trends that it's going far beyond just changing the front end of retail. It's not just replacing point of sale, but it's really getting into some fairly significant merchandising changes. And I know you had something interesting on how impulse purchases are dropping sharply as self-checkout kicks in. Why would that be?
Well, right. There's a fundamental change that's happening at the front end of the checkout line when self-checkout is implemented. First of all, you typically take out three regular lanes and put in four self-checkout lanes with a big center aisle between them. Those are the typical configuration that's out there today with a manager's workstation or attendant workstation in between that aisle. And one of the things that has happened is the displays and merchandising things that are typically in a standard aisle to entice you as you go through have not caught up to this new technology of self-checkout. And it's having a dramatic impact on the sale of impulse items, things like chewing gum and breath mints, chocolate candies or candy bars, chips and salty snacks, soda or water in the aisle of end caps. We're seeing a tremendous change there. In fact, drops of about 40% overall from people who say they buy it typically in a standard lane but do not buy it when they go into a self-checkout lane. Most notably, women drop over 50% in their purchases by going through self-checkout versus going through a standard checkout lane. In fact, if you took the average number of trips that impulse purchases are bought, assuming that the impulse item is chips or chocolate or something that has about 250 to 300 calories, on average, self-checkout will actually save somebody about 2.5 pounds a year by using self-checkout rather than going through a standard lane in terms of just raw calories. We estimated that it was approximately 7,200 calories that were consumed.
So this would be the RFID diet plan?
It could be an RFID diet plan, but no, the self-checkout diet plan is what it would be. And there's a dramatic drop, and the folks that make these impulse items have to be aware of that. For instance, chewing gum and breath mints, guys at Wrigley's would be looking at that. Well, we're seeing that on average, a typical average checkout, somebody will buy breath mints or chewing gum about 20% of their shopping trips through an average standard checkout. But when it comes to self-checkout, it drops to about 11.4%. So that's a 43% drop in purchases of chewing gum when self-checkout is used versus when a standard checkout is used. Same holds true for chocolate candies. Drops about 43% as well. The biggest drop is in two areas. Chips and salty snacks drop 53% when self-checkout is used. And soda and water purchases drop another 50%. Retailers have to factor those impulse items in when they do an ROI calculation for self-checkout. They're typically using labor savings or moving labor around in the store as a primary reason for justifying self-checkout, but they also have to factor in the merchandising sales. Now, some retailers are getting pretty innovative in what they're doing. Meijer stores and Kroger, for instance, put their rotisserie chickens and fresh-made homemade bread at the head of the aisles, which are actually at a higher margin than typical impulse items. So you'll have a $6 chicken for dinner at the end of the self-checkout aisle. So if a husband's going through the line to pick up just a few items to bring home, you can pick up dinner as well right there at the self-checkout. So the more innovative merchants with self-checkout are adopting. However, this is really a clarion call to the manufacturers of these impulse items.
Why do you see the self-checkout having that dramatic an impact on the impulse items?
It's just simply they're not displays. I mean, there's truly impulse items suggest that you have to see them to be impulsed by them. And those are not in the lanes where self-checkout is today.
There's a difference in focus. I know when I've stood on self-checkout lines, normally it's not a clear flow between either one of the four, and so you're much more alert to see which one you're going to be ready to use. You know, I mean, there aren't separate lines for each of the four.
That's an excellent point.
And so I think your focus is different. You're kind of getting ready for action in a way.
Exactly. You're being competitive about getting through the checkout line.
Right.
And usually once you're in a typical standard checkout line where all the impulse items are at, it's too late. You got items on the belt
exactly.
or something else. But, you know, it was really fascinating to see this drop and how much of an impact it was. The things that were so dramatic for women were chips and salty snacks for women, 57% drop when using self-checkout. Only 48% for chocolate. So real killer is the magazines, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, I think. But the magazines dropped 55%.
I was going to ask you about that. I would think that would be the big one because you don't have any time to peruse or browse.
Exactly.
Merchants have to understand that this may not be in their best interest because they charge a higher premium for that shelf space at the checkout line than they do for other shelf space within the grocery store or the store. And so they may have to modify their behavior as well.
Self-checkout has truly become mainstream. Even areas of the country, I like to use the red state, blue state, even the blue state areas where self-checkout hasn't been prominent because Walmart hasn't been as strong a grower in those areas, are coming around to self-checkout. The self-checkout installations at Home Depot and Lowe's are actually training the consumers in those regions to want self-checkout in the grocery store. We're almost at a mature market, I would say, in self-checkout acceptance among the community. In fact, we're seeing people that have tried it, have used it, and a slight drop-off in how much they like self-checkout from what was originally there from the novelty aspect. And that has to do mainly with the number of interventions that are required today. Now, most of those interventions are occurring because of things like age verification or some sort of ID for payment that is occurring. So even though it's self-checkout, the policies of that retailer are such that certain types of merchandise and certain types of payments require intervention from an employee. And those are some of the things that are kind of upsetting people in terms of using self-checkout, because the whole point of it is to get in and out without having to have an employee assist them.
One of the things, to Paula's point, it's not as though the explanation of the reduction is entirely that they're not there. Because of the nature of self-checkout, even if they added all the impulse items right by those machines, it would still not likely have anywhere near as much of an impact as it does in the traditional lane. So you do bring up an interesting point that this is going to change merchandising. It's not a matter of where you're going to put them. It's a matter of how you deal with the way people interact with self-checkout.
Yeah, I think it's really requiring retailers to think through their entire merchandising at the front end. Is chocolate and candy and you know, Swiss Army knife flashlights, are those the best impulse items for the front end? Or if I'm a grocer, would meal be something that's more enticing to grocers or to people that use self-checkout? It's forcing those retailers to rethink that. It's forcing those manufacturers of those traditional impulse items to say, hey, we got to keep track of this trend and figure out a way to take advantage of it rather than just lose market share.